This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين beloved brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته How are you all doing? الحمد لله Inshallah we just begin with a few questions and comments firstly around fitra and fidya fitra and fidya what is fitra what is fidya reminder fitra zakatul fitr Zakah is an obligation. Everybody must pay fitrah at the end of Ramadan or even before the end of Ramadan, but before Eid Salah. And this is a zakah on every single person per head. So it doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, you pay the same amount so long as you have enough food for the day of Eid for you and your family. And you pay per person in your household. So if you are the father and your wife and your children, some even say you're Muslim, if you had slaves in that time, domestic workers, Allah alam, then you would pay fitra on their behalf. And the idea is that you give this amount so that no one begs on the day of Eid, or at least no Muslim should be begging for food on the day of Eid. How much is fitra? So the Nabi Sallam did not stipulate a monetary amount. The Nabi Sallam stipulated an amount, a quantity of food, and it was of different types of food. So in our terms, it may be 3 kilos of rice, or 3 kilos of dates, or 3 kilos of raisins, or yogurt, or cheese. Now, as you know, a kilo of rice is different to a kilo of raisins, to a kilo of in terms of cost. And that's why you'd find fitra varies in terms of its prices. And which the good thing about it is, even a poor person can pay fitra. And if a person wants to pay more, he also has the option. And so, you know, every year they do an assessment, how much is a standard amount. So fitra is on the lowest end, 37 rand per person, and on the higher end, 73, but of course, no limit. Make sure, inshallah, this is paid before the end of Ramadan, before Eid Salah, as the Nabi says, that our Ramadan is sort of imperfect. There are a lot of mistakes that we've made. Looked at things we shouldn't have, listened to things we shouldn't have, while we are fasting, alhamdulillah, but we are not perfect. And Zakatul Fitr smooths it over. It removes all those blemishes, so when it is taken to Allah, presented to Allah or Ramadan, it is in a perfect state. So, Zakatul Fitr. The second point of fidya. Fidya, what is fidya? Fidya is that amount that is paid by someone who cannot fast and is never able to fast. So if you're not able to fast because you are sick, but you will become healthy after Ramadan, you're breastfeeding now, so you can't fast, inshallah, you'll not be breastfeeding at the, you know, after a few months, then you need to make the day up. So anyone who's traveling or sick, but will become, it's expected to be healthy again, then you don't pay fidya, you make the day up after Ramadan. You keep skilt, as we call it, a list of how many days, I missed 10 days, so I have to fast 10 days. That's for a person who's able to fast. But for the person who is too old to fast, or terminally or permanently sick, so granny, if she's too old to fast now, after Ramadan, she's going to be even older. She won't be able to fast even that. So for her, every single day that she's not able to fast, she feeds one person, not pays money, and it's better to feed someone. You feed one person a meal. So you can either bring 30 people and feed them one biryani, and alhamdulillah, that's your fidya for the month finished, or you every day give out a meal, or at the end of Ramadan, you give one, you know, whatever it is, but it must be a meal, and how much is a meal? SubhanAllah, the amount that has been calculated, a standard meal is 23 rand, and that is the fidya for the month. Alhamdulillah. Any questions on fidya or fitra? Alhamdulillah. Another question that came up with related to the barzakh. Someone asked, with regards to sending reward to the people in the qabr. And all of us, as we know, we all have loved ones in the qabr, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them through our good deeds. This is the sadaqatul jariyah. Imagine, subhanAllah, what a great feeling. I imagine the feeling that a person must have in the qabr. Not only are they being elevated and nur is coming in, and they ask the angels, where is this coming from? Why is my qabr being upgraded? So that's your son making dua for you. That's your daughter, your grandson making dua. Your grandson gave a sadaqah, a charity. So not only is it the feeling of the reward, but I'm still being remembered after me. This is sadaqatul jariyah, leaving behind good offspring. And so the question about reciting Quran, someone asked, is there anything about reciting 41 yaseens on the dead? There's no such narration or evidence that to recite 41 Yasins as any speciality. There is a discussion around, can we recite Quran and send the reward of the Quran? One surah, a khatam, half a Quran. Can we make, we call isali, itha ithawab. Like, you know, you e-wallet the thawab to the person in the qabr. Can this do? Some deeds you can definitely do, like charity, confirmed in the Sharia. You can even do hajj. There's something called the badal hajj. If a person hadn't performed hajj, you can make hajj on their behalf, a tawaf on their behalf, if they are passed away. As for the Quran, there's a difference of opinion. The majority says it's fine, inshallah, that you recite and you niyah the reward for the dead person, or you recite and then you make a dua. Ya Allah, through the barakah of the recitation, grant my grandfather, my grandmother, elevated state in the qabr. So that is permissible, inshallah. Today we move on to the day of qiyamah. And subhanallah, the day of qiyamah, you open the Quran, the first three ayat, Allah already mentions, Maliki yawmiddin. Everything of our sharia is attached to the event of qiyamah. You know, you look at your diary, and all of us have a date on our diary the exact same time. We're all going to be on that same place, that same appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of qiyamah in the future. And as we said, the signs have all come and gone, and even if not the major signs, then of course our own qiyamah, when the barzakh occurs, may Allah protect us. But of course the main event is the day of qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Nabi says, if you want to understand qiyamah, two surahs explain it very short, but explain it in detail. Surah Taqwir, which we recited before, and Surah Infitar, inshallah, which we will recite this evening. And the Prophet ﷺ, and just to remember the chronology, that the earth will come to an end. The 10 major signs will occur. And then Dajjal will come. Nabi Isa will defeat Dajjal. And then Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come. And they would die. Then Nabi Isa alayhi salam will rule the world for a number of years, the messianic age, the age of the Messiah, where there will be no fighting, you know, and not even hatred between the animals, subhanAllah. This is confirmed in our Sharia and in the Bible, subhanAllah. This weekend, of course, Allah protect, of course, Nabi Isa is a big focus on Easter, and of course, Nabi Isa alayhi salam is free of whatever is said about him, but what is amazing is, perhaps the most loved individual on earth is Nabi Isa alayhi salam. We love him, and the Nasara love him, and may Allah guide all of them to the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Nabi Isa passes away and the age of the Messiah ends, then Allah will send what we call the rapture, a breeze, that will cause all the people of Iman to die. And when that happens, Islam basically ends. The Quran will disappear, the Kaaba will be destroyed, people will go back to worshipping idols, it will become... Then this would be the worst of people that ever walked on the face of the earth. Just evil, and they would start worshipping shaitan completely and doing all kinds of fahsha. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the remaining signs of qiyamah, the earth to split open, the beast to come out, the sun to rise from the west, and of course then the fire that will gather all of them, and eventually, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, the trumpet would be blown, and everything in existence, or everything that is afflicted, will die. Everything will come to an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, and the trumpet will be blown, meaning the angel would blow the trumpet. فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and everything, all living creatures, and this again shows you, confirms that we believe that there is life throughout the heavens and the earth. Allah says, all the living things, everything in the heavens and on the earth would fall, meaning would die. Everything would perish. Illa man sha Allah, except a few who Allah has exempted from, Allah has protected from this. ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَىٰ, and then there will be another blowing. And between the first one, and the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah sallam, how long is it between the first blowing of the trumpet and the second one? And the Nabi sallam, we don't know. Allah alam, we don't know how long this would be. Then there will be a second blowing. فَإِذَاهُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْذُرُونَ, and all of a sudden, everyone will be standing up, looking in shock. All of it. You know, subhanAllah, like, you know, completely dazed and dazzled that you are awoken from the qabr. كل من عليها فان, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this just shows you who Allah is and who the creation is. Allah says, كل من عليها فان, that every single thing will perish. ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام, except Allah, the face of Allah, meaning the essence of Allah. Allah alone sustains and maintains for all eternity. And as we said, that very scary hadith that the angel of the trumpet Israfil has been commanded to get ready. And he has lifted the trumpet, and he has placed the trumpet on his lips, and he inhaled the air, and he's about to blow. He's just waiting for the command, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. And then we mentioned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would, as Allah says in the Quran, Allah will, or the, in the hadith, and it's mentioned in the Quran as well, Allah will roll up the heavens and meaning all of creation. Allah will fold the creation in a manner which befits Allah's majesty. He will collapse the stars and the moons and the planets, all of it. He will roll it up like a scroll. And on that day of resurrection, then He will hold the creation in His right hand in a manner which befits His majesty. And He will call out, where are the kings now? Where are my partners now? Where are those who challenged me? Where are they now? And of course, none. There will be nothing alive even to respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, of course, the resurrection would begin after that. Allah, so how long that would be? Allah would allow those who had died to come alive once the trumpet is blown a second time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those who deny the resurrection. And one, subhanAllah, it's interesting that in almost every society and every religion and every group, they believe in a life after death. The souls persist. Even if they believe in some kind of reincarnation, it is only in our time, subhanAllah, that you have a mass denial that there will be no life after death, that you eat, you drink, you die, and that's it. That your life is meaningless, you won't be held accountable, whether you're a good person or a bad person. Allah, in fact, asks in the Quran, one of the signs of Qiyamah, He says, do you really think a good person, leave Islam out of it, just a good person and a criminal would have the same outcome? How do you reason? How do you think that a person who had difficulty and suffered miserably on the earth, a person, subhanAllah, you think the people, the children who died in the Holocaust will have the same fate like Hitler? And just nothing happens? There mustn't be a judgment? How Allah says, كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ? How do you reason? Allah says, وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. And they swear, they strong with oath, لَا يَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَمُوتُ. That Allah will never ever resurrect the dead. بَلَا وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا. Rather, it is a promise that will come through. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. The people don't realize. وَيَكُولُ الْإِنسَانِ. And mankind asks Allah, أَإِذَا مَا مِتُّ لَسَوْفَ أُخْرَجُ حَيَّا. What, when I am dead, shall I then be raised up alive? أَوَلَا, Allah says, do you not remember? Do you not recall that we created you from nothing? So to bring you back a second time is going to be easy. So by Allah, without a doubt, فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَخْشُرَنَّهُمْ وَالشَّيَاطِينَ ثُمَّ لَنُخْدِرَنَّهُمْ حَوْلَ جَهَنَّمَ جِثِيَّ. Allah says, we will bring you and the devils, meaning the jinn, the shayateen, all of you will bring you together and you will be kneeling in front of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us at some point. Some will be far, some will be closer, some will be inside, but everyone must pass by Jahannam. Everyone will experience Jahannam. Allah protect us. Allah says, how does the resurrection happen? And Allah gives many parables, and the most common parable of the resurrection, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رِيَاحِ. Allah is the one that sends the wind. فَتُثِيرُ صَحَابًا. And He blows the clouds. فَسُقْنَاهُ إِلَى بَلَدٍ مَيْتٍ. That the crowds come over a dead land, and they rain upon this land. فَأَحْيَيْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And this dead land comes back to life. كَذَلِكَ النُّشُورُ. And this is how the resurrection will come about. And so it is mentioned in some hadith that the kubur of all of us, our graves and the graves of the jinn, however it is, will be on an open barren land, and Allah will cause a rain to fall, and the trumpet will be blown, and like vegetation sprouting up, everything will come alive once again. And this moment of resurrection, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, and in fact, let me go to the longer part of the hadith, a Sahabi and a Jewish person got into a quarrel. And in fact, the Jewish person said, I swear by the Lord of Musa. And the Nabi got, and the Sahabi got, you know, upset, and he said, rather by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he hit the Jewish person. And the Jewish person got upset and said, I didn't say anything wrong by praising Nabi Musa. I'm going to complain to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, this Jewish man does not accept the Nabi as a prophet, but he accepts him that he will be just. And so when the Nabi heard the Sahabi, out of his over eagerness of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's trying to praise Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam above Nabi Musa, the Prophet got very, very upset. And he said, do not make this comparison between the Anbiya of Allah. Then he says, now the hadith comes in. The trumpet will be blown, and all of creation would collapse on the day of resurrection. And then it will be blown again, and I will be the first. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, I am the first person that will be resurrected out of my qabr. I will come out of the qabr. Yet when I come out, I will already see Nabi Musa alayhi salam clinging and crying against the Arsh of Allah. Nabi Musa will already be standing up, and he's basically clinging to the Arsh of Allah out of his crying and his fear. And Nabi Musa says, I don't know if he actually was resurrected before me, or was he of that special group that was exempted from the blowing. Because Nabi Musa already collapsed before. When did he collapse? In the story of Nabi Musa, we know Nabi Musa asked Allah, Ya Allah, let me see you. So Allah says, you can't see me, but look at the mountain. I will show myself to the mountain. And then the mountain basically exploded and Nabi Musa fell unconscious. So the Nabi says, I don't know if Nabi Musa was spared the first blowing because he already fell unconscious in his life, to show the honor of Nabi Musa, that perhaps he is going to be of those very few that are exempted from the blowing. How will we be resurrected, subhanAllah? The Nabi says, we will be resurrected naked. Every single person will stand naked. Aisha said, how is that we're going to look at each other? Nabi said, you're not going to care about those things on the day of Qiyamah. You won't take note of what is around you. But every single person will be naked and uncircumcised, meaning you'll be born as if you are born anew. And different people will have different, depending how you live, you'll be resurrected in a certain way, either as a badge of honor or as a, you know, as a symbol of humiliation. For example, alhamdulillah, this ummah, as we said before, that the ummah of Nabi Muhammad ﷺ would stand out, ghurran muhajjalin, meaning the Nabi says, like that horse that is pitch black, it has black hair, but its mane is white. So how that, the contrast between that, his ummah will stand out, we will know, this is the ummah of Muhammad ﷺ. Why? Because they will shine, what parts? Their arms, their face, their hair, and their feet. Why? Because of their wudu. Imagine, think about it, we know, when we around people of different faiths, who washes, makes wudu 5 times a day, every single day, from the time they become mukallaf until the day they die, 5 times a day. And every wudu removes sin. Every wudu removes those sins. So those parts are pure. And so they will shine on the day of Qiyamah, and the Nabi will take great pride, this is my ummah. The Nabi mentions, everyone, of course, if you had an injury, you know, you had a scar, when you are resurrected, it's going to be back, it's going to be gone. You're not going to have those effects of the dunya on your body, except the shaheed. The person who died fi sabilillah and he was injured, he will be resurrected with his wounds open, fresh, it's even bleeding, but it smells like musk. So his wounds, his injuries are a sign of honor. He won't feel the pain, but it's there to show this man was a shaheed. You know, his bruises and his injuries are a sign of honor. The hadith mentions the muadhins, those who give the bilals, as we call them here, they would have, the hadith is the longest necks. Is it literal? Or rather, they will be prominent and they will stand out. As they had given adhan and standing out amongst everyone, they will stand out amongst the people of on the day of Qiyamah. So bilals, it's a great thing to work towards, alhamdulillah. It's nothing about imams, it's only about bilals, subhanAllah. Then there are those, subhanAllah, those who are proud and arrogant. They would be shrunk into a tiny, tiny form. And they will be covered in a cloud of darkness that they cannot see. And the people will trample over them. Anyone who felt himself superior, anyone who felt himself, you know, pompous, they would be the smallest of creation. They will be tiny on the day of Qiyamah. People will trample all over them. Allah subhanAllah says, وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِنْ يَتِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أَمْثَالُكُمْ مَا فَرَّتْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ يُخْشَرُونَ Not only will people be resurrected, but even the animals will come back. Allah says that there is not an animal on the earth, nor a creature that flies in the sky by its wings, except that they are communities. They live and they speak and they interact with one another. Nothing have as Allah omitted in the book, and they also shall be gathered to on the day of Qiyamah. They will also be gathered. Now what's the purpose of the animals being gathered? The animals are not going to Jannah or Jahannam. But even within the animal kingdom, Allah will judge if there was dhulm. If there was, the hadith says that if one animal oppressed another animal, that doesn't mean the lion eating the gazelle, that is part, it's not oppression, that's what he's supposed to do. But where the big animal harms the small animal without any reason, then Allah will set right that which is unjust, subhanAllah, to show. The idea is, if you, the person who was a tyrant, a dictator, he sees Allah is judging between the animals, what's going to happen to him when it's his turn, when he oppressed and he harmed people? And of course, the animals, what happens to them, what's going to happen? They're not going to Jannah or Jahannam, they would turn to sand, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them to perish. And at that moment, the disbelievers would say, Ya later in surah Amma Yatasa'alun, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. When they see that the animals turn into dust, we will say, how we wish we were animals. So we can also just perish into dust. Some people, subhanAllah, as Allah mentions, they will be resurrected blind. They'll be resurrected on their face. They will not be able to move or paralyzed. So how, why, Ya Allah, am I like this? This is how you lived your life. You are blind to my ayat. You are paralyzed to doing any good deeds. So as you had lived your life, this is how symbolically you will be resurrected. And the hadith mentions you would basically be in the form of how you lived your life. And so inshallah, the person who was kind, the person who was generous, the person who performed salah, they will have a certain form. And those who were not, they would not be resurrected another way. May Allah protect us from being resurrected in such a terrible manner. Where is the resurrection going to happen? Where will this happen? The Nabi says, the people will be assembled on the day of resurrection on a white, plain, empty land with maybe a yellowish tinge or a brownish tinge, like a loaf of bread, with absolutely no markers. There's no hills, there's no mountains. From as far as you can see, it's just empty, flat. And it's not on this earth. There's no place on this earth, but it would be a place completely outside of this world that we are in. And of course, to think all of humanity will be there. And all the jinn would be there. And all the Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be there. And all the animals will be there. And all the kings. Now, subhanAllah, when you read Surah Fatiha, when all the kings from the history of time is there, and all the tyrants and all the billionaires are there, then Allah will say, Maliki Yawmideen, I am the only king. Now, there is no kingdom besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ Allah says, verily, we delay him لِيَوْمٍ تَشْحَسُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ, the day when the eyes will be fixed in horror. مُحْتِعِينَ مُقْنِعِينَ رُؤُوسِهِمْ, racing, and the, subhanAllah, so mankind, when we are resurrected, there are stages in Qiyamah. And we'll talk about the stages. The first stage is like a stage of complete madness and a stage of complete terror and shock. Everyone being resurrected, and you realize what form you are in, people will run and scream and not know where to go. There's no open, there's no building or mountain or anything. You don't see anything. You just see people standing there, crying, wailing, weeping, and screaming. Allah says they will stand there. Some will be standing just in horror, staring. Others will be running, their glances not coming. مُقْنِعِينَ رُؤُوسِهِمْ لَا يَرْتَدُّ إِلَيْهِمْ طَرَفُهُمْ, the minute they lift their head, their eyes filled with terror. وَأَفْئِدَتُهُمْ أَهْوَاءَ, and their hearts are in their throats. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاحَّةِ, so Allah says, and when there comes a saha, the calling or the blowing of the trumpet, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, that is the day when a person would run away from his brother. He won't even talk to you, won't care about your brother. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, and he will not even want to look at his mother and his father. The mom will come and say, where are you? Help me. Get away from me. I don't know anything. SubhanAllah. This, the child to the parent. This is even the pious person, SubhanAllah. The pious person. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِي, and the wife and the children. لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِي, on that day, everyone will be careless of another. You are too concerned about yourself. You'll be too concerned about your own thing. وُجُوهُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ مُصْفِرَةٍ, some faces that day, however, will be bright. ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبِشِرَةٌ, some of them, at some point, they would eventually be laughing and rejoicing. وَهُجُوهُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ, and as for others, their faces will be covered in darkness and in dust. تَرْهَقُهَا قَطَرَةٌ, darkness will overcome them. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ, these are the people who disbelieved and committed fujur. We end off with Surah, as we said, we recited Surah Taqwir, Surah Infitar, these powerful surahs in Surah Juz Amma. Allah subhanahu says, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ, Allah says, I swear by when the sky completely splits apart. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ, and when the stars burn out and they disappear. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ, and when the oceans burst and boil over. وَإِذَا الْكُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ, and when the graves throw out its contents. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ, at that moment, every person will know what they did and what they left behind. Every single person will know almost his, you know, my condition the moment he is resurrected. Yeah, look at this ayah. Allah says now, Ya ayyuhal insan, O mankind, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem, what has given you courage to rebel against Allah? Who has given you this emboldenment to rebel against me? To rebel against your generous Lord. Alladhi khalaqakum fasawwaka adalak, the one who created you and perfected you, made you in the perfect design. Fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakkabak, in the form that I had willed you to be. كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ, but in fact you people deny the يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ, and what will you make know the day of Qiyamah? That's the day when everybody will be careless about everybody else, and they will know what their deeds will be upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So these are the first stage of Qiyamah, as we said, is the stage of madness. And we'll talk more about this and the other events. Qiyamah is a long process. And may Allah grant us a good resurrection. May Allah grant us to be resurrected close to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May we shine bright on the day of Qiyamah. May our deeds, our good deeds be reflected on us. And may Allah wipe away all our sinful deeds, especially in the month of Ramadan. Let us leave this month, Ya Allah, without a single trace of our sins on us. Ameen. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. We quickly going to our quiz. Maymoon, you have the box. MashaAllah, Maymoon. How many verses in Surah Al-Mulk? We said 30. 30 verses. This night's a question. What is the name of the angel who will blow the trumpet? Israfil, Mikael, Israel, Malik. What is the name of the angel who is going to blow the trumpet, inshallah? And then the winners of Uncle Saim? You're not here today. Uncle Saim is not here. Let's see. SubhanAllah. I'm running out of people now. Zahir Baker, mashallah, Zahir. And Ali Baker. Is Ali here? Ali isn't here. Oh, Asia Baker. Asia's there. Okay, all three tickets. There's only Asmals and Salis, so I had to give a chance to us. Mashallah. So, alhamdulillah. So, the Bakers tonight, alhamdulillah. And then again, Slamat for whoever's keeping Buba with Makkah tonight. Buba Ant with Makkah. Inshallah. Salaamu alaikum. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.